Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Great to have you back with us again today. Again in the studio today in our series of 21 tests of leadership. Passing these tests is Laverne Kreider.
Welcome again.
Well, today we're going to talk about conflict. And not just conflict, we're going to talk about how do we deal with conflict. You know, everybody's wired differently, variety of people in the world we have, people in our lives, everyone's different. You know, I remember way back many years ago, I thought everyone thought like me. That was really a proud thing to think.
And don't you think many people do not like conflict, you know?
Oh, I ask that question often. Yeah. And usually, if there's 200 people in the room, might be one or two say they like it.
Yeah, and especially if you have conflict and then you know that you need to confront things, that gets a little messy.
Yeah.
I know
I
struggle with that. But I think if we look at conflict as an opportunity for God to work and
correct.
To see Christ in the midst.
Right.
I mean, God's not afraid of conflict, you
right.
know. And if we can see him in the midst when we are facing a conflict
mm-hmm.
or we have to confront something,
mm-hmm.
to see him in the midst and see it from a win-win situation.
Exactly.
And to look at the people that we're in conflict with as valued by God.
Yeah.
Immediately, you know, come into that position of they are valued by God, even though might not be in agreement or there might be conflict.
Right.
But they are loved by God and
right.
valued by God.
Yeah. Conflict does not have to be unhealthy. I mean, conflict is part of life.
Yes.
And the key is to find steps, biblical steps, to see conflict resolved in a way that honors the Lord and honors the person. I like what you said. It's really important that we value the person
yes.
we're in conflict with. That makes a huge, huge difference. So some people welcome confrontation. They love it. And others just don't like it very much. I never liked conflict very
but,
much.
You know, both of us do
know,
not like confrontation.
Really.
And all the years in leadership, you know, we just didn't like it. And I think for me, some of it is I just don't like rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And I often, you know, when I have to work through conflict, I'm concerned about rejecting, or even I don't want to reject that other person also
right.
that I'm in conflict, you know, and don't want to make right. them feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it has to be done. You know, conflict has to be done. It has to be, you know, walked through.
Right.
And then confronting has to be done. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers,
right.
For they shall be called the children of God. But I often, in my position, I've often been more of a peacekeeper.
Right.
You know, I kind of grew up that way.
The Bible doesn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers.
No, it says
peacemakers.
Peacemakers.
Right.
And a peacekeeper just wants to keep peace at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
But a peacemaker
good.
Will work through conflict.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see the bigger picture and, you know, be willing to face some issues
yeah.
that are not real comfortable.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, but conflict is just a part of life. So we simply need to learn. You know, learn as we grow in our own walk with God, mm-hmm. as we grow in leadership and whatever, learn how to face it properly mm-hmm. and then find steps to walk through conflict in a way that is better. I think when I ask the question, so often I've done this in teaching throughout the world, do you like conflict? I'll ask them. And as I said, maybe a group of 200, maybe two people, but those persons know that after you get through the conflict, we're better for
that's
it.
That's true.
You know,
yes.
So I think that's really part of what's happening. So obviously, if we hate conflict, we become the nice guys.
Yeah.
You know, the whole syndrome, the nice
yeah.
guy syndrome. And so we need to learn to embrace conflict, whether we like it or not. And we've learned a lot over the years about how to do that. And we're still learning today. Here we are in the Sarah 70s. We're
yeah.
still learning how to
yeah.
handle conflict in a positive way. I remember many years ago when we were pastoring, there was a businessman in our church, and he constantly was criticizing me and criticizing our leadership and going to other people and talking to them. And it got really old for me. And so one day I realized the scripture's clear that I need, if I love him and I love our church, I will confront him on this and say, you can't keep doing this according to scripture. You can't do that. I never forget when I sat down and talked to him, he said, well, what did I do? And I told him, I said, you talk to this person, this person, this person. Here's what you said. He said, I didn't realize I was doing that.
You were specific about
this. I was clear. And from that day on, we became great friends. He's now with the Lord. For the rest of his life, we became great friends. Yeah. And that would not have happened unless I would have gone back, and which I did, and talked to him and confronted the issue in a loving way and valued him in the process. So as leaders, we need to be prepared to handle conflict in a biblical way. And a lot of scriptures, you know, the Bible says, it tells us this, says, you will have problems in this world, the scripture says in Philippians 1 and 29. Unresolved conflict, however, will destroy teamwork, and we're called to walk as teams.
Mm-hmm. And I think there are some keys. Every situation is so different.
Right.
So you have to really follow the Holy Spirit in all this.
True.
But there are some keys when you are confronting a situation, if there is conflict,
right.
And it's obvious that there needs to be some dialogue.
Right.
It's good not to use the words like why.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Yeah.
You know, that's the Holy Spirit's work to do that. And maybe in a counseling setting, it's good to ask why. But when there's tension and there's a conflict and you're confronting some things, if you say why, it just puts you on the defense and it's real judgmental and evaluating. It's better to use words like how or what, like how can we make this better?
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Then that puts it in a place of Christ is here. Christ is going to help us. I'm not attacking you. You're not attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
We're working through this this confrontation and conflict because we see that God values each of us.
Exactly. You know? God values each of us, and we're all wired differently. And that's why I think in any leadership team, whether it's in business, church, community, organization, whatever, the use of certain kinds of profiles can be so good.
Yeah.
And you know, I like some more than others, and everyone has their own feel on that. But like the DISC profile has really helped me over the years, you know, realizing there's the whole DISC, you know, and people think different, and they're honored when we speak to them differently according to how they're wired by God.
Yeah.
Or the team profile. I love that one. And it's like a role assessment profile. I love that because some people love to start things. Some people love to give ideas. Some people love to manage things. Some people like to manage it for 3 years. Some like to manage it for a lifetime. And we just need the right people on our teams who are all different than us. And that can really, I think, that can really help us walk through conflict. Or even it can keep us from having conflict sometimes because we're honoring people and the gifts they have and we're working together as a team. So I know that's really helped us in our lives a ton. So we must allow conflict to be an asset rather than a liability. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really, really bottom line. I've heard it many times. It's more important to seek to understand, you know, than to feel like you must be understood. People say, I just want to be understood. Well, let's seek to understand and
if
honor the other person.
We can lay that down.
Exactly.
It will help in approaching and confronting. It's kind of like, well, God will bring the counsel. Yeah. He'll bring the understanding as I listen to your heart.
Right.
You listen to my heart. Yeah.
It's been like kind of the early days of our marriage. I remember, you know, you were going through something. You were just telling me how you felt. And I'm sitting there and kind of saying, well, I don't know where to go from here. So I thought, well, a good husband will give you Bible verses. So I throw Bible verses at you, you know, and you say, don't fix me. I don't want to be fixed. I was trying to fix you. Remember that?
Yeah, because I think in situations when you're working through some things, there's tension and you're feeling all kinds of emotion. And often, I often tell when we talk to husbands and wives, the husband wants to fix things, you know, it's just the way they're wired.
Right.
Well, the wife just needs her emotions validated, you know, and just, but God will be the one that'll work these things.
That's
we can talk things through, but, you know, we don't have to fix each other. You know, let's let the Holy Spirit do the work and let's just listen to each other's hearts. And emotions and what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I know how freeing that was for me when I realized I didn't have to quote unquote fix you.
Yeah.
I didn't have to make it work.
Yeah.
You just wanted me to listen.
Yes.
And that was so freeing for me. Yeah. I thought, okay, I don't have to fix this.
Or times when I would say, well, we gotta get this fixed, you know, something that was happening in the church. We gotta do this. Mm-hmm. And then you'd feel backed into a corner also. It was kinda like, oh, I gotta get and I learned then, you know what? No, the way I approach it, I'll say, let's go to the Lord about this. Yeah. Let's pray about
exactly.
this. So I wasn't putting you in a position that you had to fix
right.
something right away.
Right.
So it works both ways. And using I feel statements
so
really helped us a lot.
Yeah.
I feel this way.
Or when you do this, it makes me feel like yes. this. Or when you say this, it makes me feel like this.
And staying away from you always.
Yeah.
And you never, you know.
Right.
That's
right.
works in a marriage and even in conflict. Mm-hmm.
I've heard you often talk about care fronting. What is care fronting?
Well, I think I've heard. I didn't come up with that word.
I've often heard you use that.
Yeah. Well, care fronted is. It's the attitude of
right.
when we need to confront something, we come from a position of caring.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we value that person.
Right.
We see that person. We want to see that person blessed, even when we're in conflict.
Right.
And that's not easy, you know. And then also, I've also learned over the years, and I've done this many times, when there's a confrontation, we're talking, I might say, well, people say, or they say.
Yeah.
And it's like, who's
who are
the
they anyway,
who's
right?
They? And that can be real controlling, you know. And so it's better to just make it personal.
Yeah.
This is what I'm sensing, or this is what I'm feeling.
It's easy to exaggerate, too.
It is.
As if there's 25 people saying this, there might be one or two.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I've been guilty of that already,
You know, often, Laverne, we've often encouraged people to go back to Matthew 18.
Yes.
And 15, 16, 17, where if someone, you know, you feel like someone's a sin, or they've, you know, have this area they need to change in their lives, that you need to go to them first, Jesus said, and which is so true. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's so right, because often we're saying they said or whatever, and that doesn't fix the problem. We need to go to them in love and say, when you do this, it makes me feel like this, or I've seen you do this, or whatever. I just think you need to pray about that and deal with that in your life. And then, of course, if they don't hear it,
mm-hmm.
then you come back, and Jesus, then you take one or two others along.
Yes.
And again, that's for protection, I think, from both sides.
Yes.
Because sometimes we think someone's doing something wrong, they're not.
Yes.
And we just have an issue, you know, and other times they really are. And so he said, you know, follow that principle. And then if that doesn't work, he said, take it to the church. Mm-hmm. We all need to be accountable, you know, mm-hmm. to other people. So take it to the church, and then, of course, it needs to be dealt with from there. Do you have anything else you'd say about that?
I would say we did see that really be effective.
Yeah,
you know, it's in scripture. I'm not sure that it works every time, especially in situations where there might be abuse.
Exactly.
You know that you might have to adjust that a bit.
Yeah.
But we have found that to work really, really, you know, we have seen fruit come from that. And brought some freedom, you know. Galatians 6:1, and I love this scripture.
I love this scripture.
Paul wrote to the Galatians. I think it really is sharing God's heart here. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself.
Yep.
Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ." And so, it's from this premise of reverence of God in this situation,
mm-hmm.
But a real sense of we want to see restoration come.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see, especially in areas where there would be sin,
mm-hmm.
you know, or we're confronting someone with sin.
Right.
Maybe not in just an area where there's just conflict between us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something we could talk about too is I've had over the years where people came to me and they had something against me and I had no idea.
Right.
What do you do with something like that? It's
like,
sometimes in those situations, it would have been better if they just would have gone to the Lord.
Exactly.
Because then now it's like, oh, so they have a problem with me. If they would have just worked it out with the Lord and brought freedom.
Yeah.
Now, if it's something I was doing wrong.
Right.
But in the sometimes situation, it's just that some people don't like certain people or don't like a certain personality.
Yeah.
So do you have anything to say about that? You know,
it just brings back a memory. I remember teaching a Bible study of kids years ago, and this one girl had some conflict with me, the girl I was teaching. So she came up to me after the Bible study. She said, "I'm just really struggling with you." I said, "Well, what have I done?" You know, she said, "I just don't like the way you comb your hair." It's sometimes just stupid things, you know, just crazy things. And other times it is real things, but you're right. I mean, you got to understand, as long as we're in this world, there's conflict.
Yes.
And if we face it properly and we find solutions, it's a good thing because it makes us more like the Lord. It makes us better, takes steps ahead. But if we do it the wrong way, it destroys people.
Yes.
And that's why
people,
when we have conflict with someone, we need to go to the Lord first. And I agree totally with you. a lot of times they don't need to come and tell us things like that stupid illustration I just gave. They don't need to come and tell us things. We don't need to go tell people things. We go to the Lord. If he tells us, then we should. Then we can go and share that with that person. In closing, I want to quickly share, I found six steps have helped me. And I learned this years ago, Laverne, and we both done this together in helping church leaders and people throughout the world. And I just want to share with you these six steps that will provide healthy conflict resolution. Okay? The first one is gain agreement that there's a problem. Because often you might be in conflict with somebody, or I might be in conflict with somebody, and they're not in conflict at all. They're fine. They're doing great. But we realize that if things continue as they are, there's a problem. We can't continue to work together. That's maybe good. It's on a team, maybe it's in a workplace, or maybe it's in church or whatever. So you have to gain agreement that there is a problem. That's the place to start. And that's, again, that's often used, as you said before, the I feel statements. You know, when you do this, it makes me feel like this. So at least we know there's an issue, there's a problem. The second point is we identify the consequences up front. So we simply say, look, if we continue the way we are, we're going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. It's going to affect our family, or it's going to affect our business, or affect our church, or whatever realm, a responsibility we have. And so we gain agreement, number one. Number two, identify the consequences up front. So we say, look, we have to do something about this. Number three, if the person's a believer, you pray together in faith, asking the Lord for wisdom and possible solutions.
So important.
It's so important, yeah. And in fact, I find if they're not believers, then obviously, you know, we don't need to pray with them, but we still come up with some possible solutions, you know, maybe three or four or five or six, that together, because we're bringing ownership on both sides. That's why I like this so much. Mm-hmm. Again, I've seen this work again and again and again. And so the fourth thing then, you mutually agree on an action. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, and here's all these options. Again, if you're a believer, it's a lot easier because you can simply be praying about it together. Yeah. But either way, this still works, even with unbelievers. And you simply mutually agree on an action. After you agree on an action, then you decide the length of time that you need for follow-up. You might say, okay, here's what we're going to do for 6 months. And then after 6 months, we're going to measure the progress. Mm-hmm. And so, I've seen this, it's been so healthy. Because again, you're valuing everybody mm-hmm. involved in the process. Mm-hmm. You just come in and say, you're wrong, and I'm right.
You're not attacking each
exactly.
other.
Exactly. It's not attacking. It's together
again,
finding a solution.
You see Christ in the midst, don't you?
Exactly. Especially as believers when we're dealing with conflict. Of course, and really the truth is, even with the not believers, if we follow biblical principles, Christ is still in our midst. Mm-hmm. We know that. So then let's say 6 months, we'll come back and measure progress. And then after 6 months or 3 months or 2 months or whatever, if the conflict cannot be resolved, then in most cases I find it is resolved. Mm-hmm. It's working. You say, man, thank God, this is working. Thank you for talking to me about this. We're working great. But if it doesn't, then we find someone outside of us that we trust mm-hmm. that can help us walk through it. And it's really important that they both trust that person. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be that's why accountability is so important. And all realms of life, in the business world, in our families, in our churches, where we need accountability, people we can trust. You can't be accountable to everyone, mm-hmm. but you can do a few, mm-hmm. and you need to know who they are. So then, if the conflict cannot be resolved, you receive help from an outside person. And you know something I found again and again and again? I've seen God use that, and I've seen that really work in a powerful way.
And above all, we receive grace.
Yeah.
Scripture says that in his fullness, we receive grace upon grace. We receive his divine power. We receive, you know, his wisdom in situations like that. And we're just covered with his grace and wisdom to know that he will help us to walk through it. It might get a little messy, and it might not be resolved overnight, but we're purposed in our heart that the grace will carry us through as we speak grace to different conflicts and different confrontations. Mm-hmm. You know, grace, you know, we say that a lot.
Right.
But what it's saying is God's favor on it. We can't do this on our own. God, you work through this.
Yeah. The other thing I think is important in resolving conflict is acknowledging how people feel and what right, wrong, or indifferent. Yeah. They're feeling this is something happened, something was said or whatever, and it caused them to feel a certain way. And we need to honor that. I think we we need to honor how they're feeling. Yeah. And again, even though what they're feeling may not be right, but that is not only honoring the feeling, that is honoring the person.
Yes.
And that's why this whole thing is so important. We all make mistakes. We all mess it up. And again, the I feel statements you talked about, I think, are so, so important. Use I feel statements. Let me close with this, and then anything else you have learned, you can share here at the end. And that is, I remember when we had some conflict in marriage, we went to a marriage encounter many years ago. Remember that?
Yes.
And it was so helpful for me because we were taught to write down our feelings. Now, you were good at that. I was not good at that, you know. And I said, you simply take the word and, you know, this is going to work out, you know. Yeah. And it was so good for me to learn to write on paper my feelings, how I felt, even in the midst of conflict we were having. Mm-hmm. And that made all the difference in the world. And just honoring one another in any way we can, even by writing out or expressing how we feel, understanding how they feel, and together coming to a place of resolution.
And I think we've learned also that we need to have boundaries in our communication.
That's true.
You know,
true.
Like you would
talk
go home and you would share something that's really maybe was really messy at work or, you know, within the church. And I would right away jump to conclusions. And you had to learn, and I had to learn also, what kind of boundaries would we set? Like you would say to me, okay, if I tell you this, I'm encouraging you not to react, but just to respond. And then I was just like, oh, okay, I'm going to just, and I just kind of, in that moment, that pause, I would just turn it over to the Lord and say, I won't fear evil tidings. My heart is steadfast and trust in you, Lord. And I would just turn over to the Lord. And in those moments, then I wouldn't jump to conclusions and attack you or attack anybody else. So we had to learn boundaries in our communication, which helped with the conflict, you know, which helped to maybe diffuse it a bit, temper it, you know, and above all, love tempers all things.
It does.
Know.
Amen. Well, this has been so much fun. Check out the show notes today if you haven't done that already. And again, a lot of what we're talking about comes from the book I'd written many years ago, Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership, available on Amazon through our bookstore, Dove International Bookstore, or wherever you buy books. And so we're going to continue step by step, week by week, continue to walk through these different 21 tests of leadership. And so leadership doesn't mean you have to lead a company or you have to lead a church. We have to lead ourselves. We lead our families. I mean, this is for all of us. Mm-hmm. These principles apply. And so we're so glad you joined us and so happy. People from around the world, I think 170-some countries now, been listening to this podcast, and it's been such a blessing. Leverne, anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, it's just that let's expect the loving kindness in our lives and knowing that He is at work in our lives, to willing to work for His pleasure. And it's just so encouraging.
Yeah, it's so good to have you with us this week. God bless you. Look forward to having you back here on the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.